Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a great honor to be here at Peace and share this message with you today. Peace was my family home church from 2010 to 2013 when we lived here in Hearst, Texas. Our children both attended Red Apple, and our daughter graduated from Red Apple School before moving to Waco, Texas, and now finally we are residing in St. Louis area. For the last 8 years, Peace has been the home of our Lutheran mission to the Arabic-speaking community of North Texas. We praise the Lord for this missional church, and we praise the Lord for your missional leaders and pastors. Today, after the service, the English service, we will celebrate two baptisms of the Arabic-speaking community. One family is from Jordan and the other one is from Iraq. In addition, we will have the Epiphany service at 2 p.m. In the Eastern Church, Epiphany is the celebration of the baptism of our Lord. In Aramaic, we call this feast Denho, which means the rising of the sun or the divine revelation. The meaning of this term comes from the revelation of the Holy Trinity on the Jordan River. The voice of the Father was heard saying, "This is my Son." And the Son was baptized in the Jordan River as the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. In the West, Epiphany is the celebration of the visit of the Magi to Jesus. So this morning we talk about the Magi, and this afternoon in the Arabic service, we learn more about the baptism of our Lord. Today's message titled for the Western Church is Jesus is the Universal Worshipped King. When we read the text that we read this morning, we see many divine truths that Matthew shares with us in this story. We will focus on just three of them in this morning message. Truth number one is Jesus is worshipped not only by Jews, but by all the nations of the world. Unlike Luke, Matthew doesn't tell us about the shepherds coming to visit Jesus in the stable. He is focused instead on foreigners coming from the east. In verse 1, we read, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?'" Matthew began the gospel with the truth that Jesus is the universal Messiah for all nations, not only for the Jews. There are many theories about the identity of these visitors, but most historians and commentators agree that these Magi were court magicians, astrologers, or wise men from the east, which mean perhaps from the Babylonian Empire. To use the Jewish term, these Magi were Gentiles and unclean. So that's the message here, that these Gentile and unclean people are coming to worship Jesus. This visit is also considered a fulfillment of the repeated Old Testament prophecy that the nations and kings would come to him as the ruler of the world. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Matthew shows that Jesus is Messiah, a king and promise fulfiller for all nations, not only for Israel, but for all of us. One of the famous 6th century Syriac church father by the name of Jacob of Serug, he commented on this visit, and he saw the Magi represented as the Gentile church coming to Jesus. Jacob takes the analogy of the bride and her bridegroom. The bride is the church, and the bridegroom is Jesus. And so as the bride loves her bridegroom and is attracted to him, likewise the Gentile church comes to him and love him and worship him, while the Jewish church is careless about his presence. But again, we might ask, how is this truth being fulfilled in the 21st century? The Magi came from the east, which is today Iran and Iraq. We hear a lot on the news about these two countries, but only on the political and military level. Economic sanctions against Iran, fighting ISIS, and nuclear weapons, etc., etc., etc. But what we don't hear is that the Iranian and the Iraqi church are the most ancient of churches. From the 2nd century AD, we have records of a thriving and missional church. Their mission stretched all over the Far East, which is today Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India. The church is called the Syrian Church of the East. After the 7th century, which marks the birth of Islam, these churches become very weak and endured a harsh persecution. One of the most recent and devastating persecutions was in 2015, when over 150,000 Christians were driven out of their home by ISIS. But the story doesn't end here. Christ's promises are being fulfilled for the Church of the East. Many Iranians today are coming to Christ. Mission reports that the fastest growing underground home church is in Iran. These churches include not only Iranian, but also Kurds and thousands of other Muslim ethnic groups. In Germany, one of the most largest Lutheran immigrant church is the Iranian church in Germany. Locally here, our Arabic Lutheran mission here in North Texas has seen more than 16 Iraqi Muslims come to Christ, and this number continues to grow. The Gentile church came to Jesus, represented by the Magi, and it is still coming to love and worship him. Number two, God uses the universe to make his Son known and worshipped. Over and over, the Bible baffles our curiosity about how certain things happen. For example, in our story, how did the star get the Magi from the east to Jerusalem? It does not say that it led them or went before them. It only says they saw a star in the east. That's in verse 2. And they came to Jerusalem. And how did the star go before them in a little 5 miles walk from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, as verse 9 says? And how did the star stand over the place where the child was? The answer is simple. We don't know. There are numerous efforts to explain it in terms of conjunctions of planets or miraculous light, but we just simply don't know. What is clear concerning the action of the star is that it was doing something that it could not do by its own. It is guiding Magi to the Son of God to worship him, and there is only one person that can be behind that. That person is God himself. So the lesson is clear. God is guiding foreigners to Christ to worship him, and he is doing it by exerting a global and even universal influence and power to get it done. We see this in Luke. The same lesson is in Luke, when he shows that God influenced political and the entire Roman Empire so that the census comes at the exact time to get the virgin to Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy with the delivery of a child. Even the shepherds followed the star. So both Luke and Matthew are showing us how God influencing the stars in the sky and the major political power. Foreigner Magi come to Bethlehem. All this for them to come and worship and recognize the Son of God. Truth number three is we see here a lesson or practical lesson on worship. We can build a whole sermon series on this point. So I will summarize this idea in these three lines. What is worship? Worshiping Jesus means joyfully ascribing authority and dignity to Christ with sacrificial gifts. In the Nativity story, we read that the Magi gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts are not given by way of assistance or need meeting. It would dishonor a monarch if a foreigner visitor came with royal care packages. Nor are these gifts meant to be bribes. So what then do they mean? The gift represents a desire for Christ himself. When you give a gift to Christ like this, it is a way of saying, the joy that I pursue is not the hope of getting rich with things from you. I have come to you not for things, but for yourself. By giving to you, I am saying more earnestly and genuinely, you are my treasure, not these things. One of the best gifts I got this Christmas was from my son, Kifa Michael, who is 8 years old, who gave me a small red box, just small, tiny box. The box cover was engraved with the word Dad. When I opened the box, there was a necklace, and on it, it is written, My Dad, My Hero. It fills my heart. The worth of this necklace is not in its cost. He might have bought it from dollar store. This kind of necklace, we buy it from a dollar store. So the worth is not in the necklace. It is in the message written on that necklace. It made me think about the gift we give to Jesus. And I think the best gift we give him is our heart, written on it, My Dad, My Hero. That's one of the symbolic gifts. Frankincense means our pure and complete worship. So we ask the Lord to take this truth of this text and awaken in us a desire for Christ himself. May we say as we begin a new year, Lord Jesus, you are the Messiah. the King of Israel. All nations will come and bow down before you. God, allow the world to see that you are meant to be worshipped. Therefore, whatever opposition I might find, I joyfully ascribe authority and dignity to you and bring my gifts to say that you alone can satisfy my heart. Amen.